Bonnie Faith, and you are now tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is CJ Sway, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is Perry, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
Hey, this is Kula Von Seal, also known as Queen Kong, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live. Come get some, baby.
Welcome to Life After Dusk Live, your boy Seti J and your girl.
Nay Production.
What is up, everybody? Who hates the coronavirus? I hate this shit. I hate it. Yes. Yeah, we're here another week of quarantine here on the show, aka Quarantine After Dusk. And we're back on our regular day. You know, we've been doing Thursdays for a few episodes. We'll be back on our regular day, which makes it a regular hump day. So yes, hump day after dusk. Oh, lovely. And today is one of my favorite days of the year, is April Fool's Day. I would do an April Fool's joke, but I think it's enough fools out here right now that keep going out and doing the wrong thing in this darn quarantine. So there's no need for me to do April Fools because it's a bunch of fools running around already, which I'm gonna get on. Y'all just gonna continue to find a way to make it on this Cricket of the Week, man. It's gonna be a marathon of new people to add to the list. Y'all wilding out, man. We're going to get to that in a moment, though. But nonetheless, Nay, what's been going on with you?
Nothing much. Been stuck in the house, apparently.
I know, it's like, it's crazy when you got to talk to you and you're like, oh, what you doing? Oh, no, you know, same thing I was doing yesterday in the house, not doing the
gardening.
So, yeah. Oh, man. Now, I've been finding ways to, like, has to be interesting to answer that question. So last night I was wild out, man. I decided I got this bright idea to make a New Orleans bounce song off the dome. I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna make a New Orleans bounce song. I'm not playing it today. Ha ha, y'all thought y'all was getting it out of me. Not today. But I actually recorded it. I sent it to a few people. Y'all get a couple of chuckles and whatnot. And some people was like, oh, okay, it's live. I'm like, oh, Lord, don't gas me up. So, the New Orleans bounce vibes are getting that in, and all of it is fun, man. Now, Nay, I'm getting to you. You sent me, you know, I'm going to bring this up because, you know, the people already know I was getting exclusives. I seen the heat. Mm-hmm. So, Nay, let's talk about this heat you sent me, man. Yeah, when did we get? When is the world seeing that? When are you blessing the world that heat?
Well, it's been dropped on OnlyFans. I dropped the picture on OnlyFans, so.
Ah, yes. Which I'm on protest. I'm not a reason why I'm not a fan right now because Nay held out on me last month, and I was like, what? She is not posting. My feelings are hurt. So I am on protest for a month, and then I will be back after that because she hurt my feelings. I was like, Nay, we need to drop some new stuff.
I'll give you a free month.
Uh-huh, thank you. Because I was like, what is going on? I was ready to go. Especially this COVID going on. We just out of hand. But, yeah. Let's talk about what is your secret? You eating some more collard greens, more cornbread? What is the deal that got you out here sitting nicely right now? Because that one picture was like, good lord, What is going on? What have you been eating, Nate? What you been putting in the cornbread?
I ain't putting nothing in the cornbread.
Man, you put some of that goddamn cornbread. That damn shit was out of hand. I went there one picture. I was like, what? Good Lord. Y'all just have to go subscribe to our OnlyFans to see what I'm talking about.
You'll
be like,
word.
Oh. Whew, man. It's like, y'all, I'm telling y'all. Nay. I don't know, man. These years I know Nay. Every time it's like, she eating her collard greens, eating her cornbread heavy, all that. So, yeah, she been on it. But, yes, nonetheless, we're going to go into a song break, but to break a new song right here on Life That Does Live. You're here for the first time on the show right now for the drop it. It is shout out to my boy DJ Dub J for sending it to me. Rudy Pusha's artist. And we got my boy Lil Jeremy. This track is called Risk It All. Check it out. Let me know what you think about it. And shoot, it's also a video out for it too. So make sure y'all go support my boy Dub J and support some of the music that's coming out of this camp. Go do it. You need to find them. Shoot, all you got to do is type in Dub, J-D-U-B, space J. You go to, you'll see the video shared on my Facebook. I'll share the video, share Dub J's page on the Dust Spots Instagram. So y'all can go there and check it out. Hot video. Good song, but let y'all be a judge of it. So here we go, premiering it right here on Life That Does Live. This is Risk It All. We'll be back because we got my boy Los coming on the show today. Y'all know we are good getting that tea. We're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about, you know, the strip club and entertainment business being affected by the coronavirus and a few more things. So y'all just stay tuned right here on Life That Does Live, Hump Day After Dusk.
Tell him O shot you.
Yeah, I take a risk for it all. Yeah, I keep money using ball. Yeah, I take a risk for it all. Yeah, I take a risk for it all. Wake up, head straight to the kitchen, baby, did they whip him, but nigga, they nothing but draws. I like the type of designer, I know that they watching the drip you can't get from the mall. In love with them Perkins and Zans, they bustin' them bands, the past, I'm getting them all. Addicted to taking a chance with all of my mans, just hockey my niggas involved. Yeah, yeah, hockey my niggas involved. They threw haters like Crystal Ball. Yeah, lovers, they want me to fall, yeah. Yeah, yeah, hopefully not alcohol. Keep shit like soccer ball. Back like clear, I said it all. Glock on my way, gotta wear it like fashion. They know I'm gassing, girl, I'm a little damaged. Hope they rolling like ASO or cameras. If they won't steady, we got thick antennas. Run up there shaking, my shoes advances. I still love this, but I pray like commanders. I got the juice like Kool-Aid jammers. They give me tall like Randy Antler, yeah. They just want fuckers, I'm fancy, yeah. Plus I'm too rich and I'm handsome, yeah. 50 years, I'm fat dancing, yeah. I'm not bougie, I'm pamper. I turn the trash to a mansion. Run with that set like I'm Santa. I go to war, I'm so hands and I get you wet like a canvas. Bullets gon' fly like a banner, yeah, yeah. I just look cable, hop out for the bus. Bitch hit the spot, then the pad getting flush. Said it bustin' rants, I'ma need another truck. Every 24, I'ma need another law. Every pass, touch, get target, so I been taking risks, still young, high, old. I'd rather take a chance, still don't ride and be bold. Wake up, head straight to the kitchen, baby, did they whip him, but nigga, they nothing but draws. I like the chopper designer, I know that they watching it, drip you can't get from the mall. In love with them Perkins and Zans, they bustin' them bands, the packs, I'm getting them all. Addicted to taking a chance with all of my mans, just hockey my niggas involved.
Fall on a beach and I put on Xanax, Perk, set, and Adderall. Keep on them panties, I don't wanna put, I just wanna look mild. When it comes to these bitches, I switch them up, go get a different one, niggas can't figure me out. Go to the dealership, pick a shit, I need the ticket shit, I want the newest one out. Now I'm back in the hood and I'm kicking shit, hanging with killers, you know ain't no pussies allowed. Roll out a pound of his out in my weed, never quiet, you know I be smoking on loud. Let nigga reap for my chain while I'm rocking his shoulder, somebody get shot in the crowd. Go to the hood with them numbers, so low on them boats, but they go up when we out of town. I saw a fish, I
blow the pistol like a whistle when these niggas get out of bounds. I fall on that bitch and no friends and no cousins and sisters. I tried to stick these to her mouth. I put that dick in the toilet right after she screwed up on you and kissed you in your mouth. I swear that these bitches be foul. Got a brand new heater, leave you straighter than an iron board. Put a brand new Rolex around my wrist cause I've been grinding for it. In a brand new car, and I'm about to hit the dash. All my hoes, they got her ass. Me and all my niggas, we all sell bad. You a monkey ass nigga, you ain't got no cash. We ain't doing no shipping. If the shit pop out, all of us got straps, all of us got mad. So I still let the pistol pop out. Let nigga play games, I'ma bust your ass. I take a risk for it all. Wake up, hit the kitchen, baby, just they whipping, but nigga, they nothing but draws. I like the shop of designer. I know that they watching this drip, you can't get from the mall. In love with them perkins and zans, they busting them bands.
That was Risk It All right here on Life That Does Live. Your boy City J and girl Nay Seduction. Well, y'all, we're going to another song, and then we come back from this song break. We're going to go ahead and have my special guest on the show today, so y'all stay tuned. We're going to get some. We'll give you a little club banger, get you up and moving. I know a lot of y'all been sitting around, not able to do nothing because we've been stuck in this coronavirus. So yeah, so we back after this. By the way. I also want to make one more announcement. I want to thank everybody that supported the magazine for last month. Y'all supported heavy. I know that this darn virus, and I also know people's finances are going crazy right now. So the fact that y'all even still support it so heavy is love all in itself. So we appreciate it over at Human Canvas Magazine. Definitely, we'd love to support. And shoot, man, we're gonna keep it going, man. We're gonna keep continuing bringing some great content every month. So definitely, we really appreciate it. Cause heck, you got money's tight right now. Y'all got other things you can do with your money, but you're doing that. Appreciate it.
Let me see your word. Breathe in, breathe out, speed it up, slow it down. Breathe in, breathe out, speed it up, slow it down. Breathe in, breathe out, speed it up, slow it down. Speed it up, slow it down. Speed it up,
slow it down.
Welcome back to Life That Does Live. Your boy Ceddy J and your girl.
Nice production.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we had to get y'all crunk real quick, get you shaking and stuff out your seats for a second. Because, man, this interview you're getting ready to do now, you know, see, I love to do this to guests. When people come on my show, they don't know what I'm going to do to them. I let them know it's a little bit, but they'll never know the kind of energy we're going to bring at them. So we got a lot I'm getting ready to hit them with. And I want to welcome to the show first time. Long awaited interview, my boy Los in the building. What's up, Los? What's good, boss? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. Shoot, you know, this is an interview that's been in the process for a while, you know, finally making it happen. You know, I think it's probably one of the most interesting times for it to happen, considering everything that's going on. So I don't know, like, if God just said, hey, this is the perfect time to do it, and it just kind of flowed that way. So be glad to have you, man.
I'm glad to be here.
So, yeah, so first off, man, for those that don't know, because people always hear me talk about, you know, they hear me talk about the strip club life a lot from time to time, but also where I be working at, which is Pinhead's Cabaret. I don't really say stuff about you directly, but I talk about you as far as some of the interesting stuff you got doing, like Tuesdays and all that. But,
right.
You know, man, like, for those who don't know, let them know, like, what's your role at the club?
I'm the manager of Pinup's Cabaret. Pretty
yes,
much everyday decisions go through me. Except on Tuesdays, I'm security and manager. Nah, I'm just bullshit.
For real? For real.
$2 Tuesday, I'm everything.
I'm gonna keep it real on you, because we do, you know, just sometimes you're the damn bartender, but you know, that's another discussion for another day.
right.
Oh man, but like as far as like being like managing the strip club, like I know you like kind of gave like a little bit about what you do. Like, what are some of the other stuff that people don't realize, all the hard work behind the scenes you have to go through in order to help the day-to-day business going?
The hardest thing about being a manager at the strip club is you're dealing with 30 or 40 different personalities, and that's true. You're dealing with 30 or 40 personalities. So, you know, you got women that's on the period. You got women that broke up with their boyfriend. You got women that's getting a divorce. You got all type of women that work for you. That's the hardest part, dealing with the women.
Like, it's like doing things, because, like, yeah, all those personalities, like, because then, I mean, you might as well add counselor to your title at a strip club, too. Like you said, you got to manage all these personalities. Like, how do you...
You manager slash daddy slash uncle slash security slash counselor. You slash... you can go on forever with the slashes. You pretty much everything at the club.
Like, how do you, because how do you know, like, this is always a magic, and I've seen it in person and still can't figure out how people do this. How in the hell do you know how to deal with these different personalities and get, you know, because all, like you say, it's all these different ones, and you got to approach everyone a different way. How do you know when to approach somebody a certain way, and how do you even, like, just be able to stay sane during all that?
I've been blessed to know how to read people. That's just the honest to God truth. I've been blessed to know how to read people. I pretty much read people. I don't drink. I don't smoke. So I'm fully sober. So I just watch everybody and everything going on. And then that's how I'm able to handle the situation.
I'm going to go in because I know some people already say this. Like, in some cases, some people like to say that, oh, those is me. You know, like, for those that are, because I do because of being there so many days, and if you had your way, I'd be there every day.
right.
But, every day, but, you know, I deal with you so many days out of the week being there. Like, you know, how is it, like, how do you necessarily, how can I put it, you know, deal with, like, everyone that thinks that you're supposedly mean, but as far as me doing you behind the scenes, I see all these different parts of you. Like, what's, like, dispel the myth about you being mean. Because people say that, they throw that around so wildly. So, yeah.
The myth about me being mean is because I don't let people do whatever the fuck they want to do. Oh, excuse me, I'm not fucked, but I just don't let them.
Oh, no, you can cuss. Oh, this is, you can cuss on this.
Oh, okay. I go by the rules. So, you know, when somebody's enforcing the rules, then their opinion going to be that you're mean because I enforce the rules. I go by the rules. That's why.
Period. Like, you'll be the first one to get that little thing out right here and say.
right. Rule number four, I go by the rules. So that's why they say I'm mean. You know, if I would let them do whatever the hell they want to do, like these other strip clubs, I'm not naming none. I'm just speaking in general. You know, if I let them do whatever the hell they want to do, then I'm the coolest person in the world. But I'm mean because I enforce the rules. But the rules is to help them. It's not to help me. To help them.
Exactly. And I mean, do you think, like, because I see this a lot too, like, do you think sometimes people get it, you know, in the midst of all that, people miss the opportunity of realizing, like you said, to help them? A lot of times do you feel like they miss out on realizing all the sacrifices behind the scenes you do to look out for them?
Of course they miss it. You know firsthand, I'm there 7 days a week. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? I'm there 7 days a week. That's the biggest sacrifice right there. My off days are not my off days. I be there.
Right. It's like, so, like how do you, okay, so here's a question as far as it's always girls that's thinking about dancing that, like, oh, I want to go be a dancer, but they don't really, you know, what, in your opinion, what makes a good dancer? Or me be very specific, because that's where people mess up.
I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth, what makes a good dancer to Carlos. If you make me want to tip you, you're a hell of a dancer. That's all I can say. You're a hell of a dancer if you make me want to tip you. Hello? Hello?
Yes. So what is your biggest issue with strippers in the strip club? I'm Nay Seduction, so like, I know you said, you know, you people be thinking you mean and stuff like that or whatever the case may be, but what do you think is the hardest part of managing the strip club?
The hardest part of managing the strip club is the strippers that get super drunk.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part for me, the strippers that get super drunk, and the customers also. Because there's no understanding. You know, they have no understanding.
Right.
Of being a manager to me is trying to explain to somebody that's had too much to drink anything. That's the hardest part to me.
Okay. Have you ever came across, like, where you have strippers, like, fucking customers in the strip club?
I got back to the line right on time.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So what I don't do is, I mean, you know, I'm not going to look for that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to look for that, you know. If you decide to do that and you get caught up doing that, hey, man, that's you. You know, I don't go looking for that because I ain't trying to see no dicks and I ain't trying to see nobody's shit, you know. I'm just saying shit. Just be honest with you. So I don't go looking for that. You know, I just tell the girls that go to VIP, hey, call me if they get too rough back there, you know, then I'm coming. But other than that, no, I'm not going back there to see none of that. No, I'm not, no. I don't want a part of that. I don't want to get burnt up. I don't want to see nobody's shit. I don't want none of that, you know.
You said fuck all away.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not, now, I go by the book. But I don't go looking for no. No, I don't go looking for none of that there. No, no.
You know what? That's always a fear of mine. I'm like, God, please
I don't want it like that. I'd be like, I don't want it to be a day like if I go, like if I had to go back and look for somebody, don't let me see it. Like you said, I don't want to. I don't want to see nobody shit all of a sudden. And I'm like, whoa! Just don't let me see it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's rules and how you do things. Period. You know.
What's the worst thing that you've seen in the strip club? Like,
oh,
you
man.
In the strip club.
What's the worst thing? As far as what? Like,
period. I can't say period because
like,
I'll see.
Like, what's the worst thing that
you've
seen in the strip club?
The worst thing I've seen in the strip club.
I know one. If you don't bring it up, I know a funny one that we both seen.
The worst thing that I think in the strip club that ever happened is a dancer tried to run me and Sid over, and the owner over.
That oh man, that wasn't the word, but yeah, that was in top five. Yeah.
What was the funniest one, Sid? So I could elaborate.
Okay, so I would say that was like crazy. That was like, yeah, that was. I can't believe it. Somebody really was trying to run me over for real. But when somebody when people are like, you know. People get heated, drinks start kicking in, and people start having problems with each other. When you so riled up, you trying to hit somebody else, you accidentally hit your own homeboy, and you knock him out cold. Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of crazy. We had a guy hit his own homeboy in the head with a pool stick and knocked him out.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, what just happened here? Wait, that was your home? What? that was probably the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Everybody stopped. The whole fight stopped. Everybody stopped.
It was like, wait. I like, because you only see that in movies where somebody just like, you know what? I'm going to grab a pool stick. And you know, people start getting bottles and pool sticks and stuff and hit someone over the head and they go out and they not, I've never seen that in person. I've seen the stuff in person, but never a whole pool stick and it's your own homeboy.
No, the funniest thing though that ever happened to me, the funniest, not the worst, but the funniest thing that ever happened to me was two girls was brand new. They started this night and they went to VIP. And I have a little speech I give before I hire a girl, you know what I'm saying? I let them know the do's and the don'ts. But the funniest thing was I looked up and the two girls was running from VIP, like running, full-fledged running, talking about that the guy pulled the shit out on them. Boy, that was the funniest shit in the world.
Oh, no. I'm surprised you didn't ring up. I'm glad Mac is not on the line because I know he exposed me.
It was
me racing and losing. No, but then another instance of losing.
Yeah, that was pretty funny too. Sid got after race one of the waitresses and she beat Sid pretty. You know, she beat him pretty good.
Because what messed up was he was bragging about me. Yeah, man, sure. I don't know, man. I seen Sid in action before. He was like really like letting him know. Like I say a little fast, but you know, I'm fast, but I ain't faster than them. It's not happening. So yeah. And I want to say another one is another funny thing is okay. So there's something that we do I would do. For like the Cowboy games, if the Cowboys won, I would do a lap around the bar. And so he would look at me like he see the Cowboys get ready to win. He like said, man, I know you're going to have to go ahead and make that run, man. He's like, he waited for me to run, and all of a sudden I'm like running around the bar lit, like oh man. So yeah. I say a lot of good times been had, but so I want to transition on something. We've had the unfortunate, like, and it's not just us, but a lot of
anything that represents entertainment in itself has been shut down through this whole coronavirus thing. Like, when you got the call on being told that they were shutting down the club, like, what was your reaction at that time?
We pretty much knew it was coming. But it was, shit, my reaction was fucked up because it was my birthday. Shit, we got to go
yeah.
my birthday. Night. You know what I'm saying? So I was extra heated, but, I mean, we knew it was coming.
Yeah, because I remember because we had the whole masquerade party coming up. And I'm saying, like,
yeah.
can we just get the masquerade party the way first? And then they set it down, we'd be good.
Set it down on my birthday. Like, that was fucked up.
Oh, man. But like,
I mean,
it done hit
us hard. I mean, it's affecting everybody. Like, for real, for real. It's like, it's hard for our industry. It's really hard because you know we deal with cash. So you know what I'm saying? When ain't
yep.
no cash, it's hard. You know.
Hell yeah! Like, and I like because even more so, like, you know, like, because I'm pretty sure your phone, like, has your phone been off going off the hook of people hitting you up. You know, as far as, like,
yeah.
the entertainers.
They want me to do private parties, you know. They want us to do all type of shit. Hell, yeah, it rings off the hook, you know. And I also called, you know, a bunch of the girls that's, you know, the day ones, the certified pin-up girls, you know. I call and check on them, you know. They hanging in there, you know.
Yeah, I know I've talked to a few, like, yeah, it's like, man, like, I understand. I understand a lot of people how they feel, nigga. It's like all of a sudden the money you were making every week, you get told, oh, you can't do it, you can't make it now because something that's not your fault necessarily. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's you know, people got to understand that, you know, this is 75-80% of the girls' livelihood. You know, this is all they do. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And 2-3 weeks now, no money flowing. I mean, it's hard. You know, it's really hard for them.
Man, yeah. I've been watching. It just because it was already crazy when you started seeing they started shutting down the NBA games and all that. It was already that started even before we even get closed. And then that happened. You're like, damn, we're just like left and right just. Everything,
yeah,
man.
Right now, I mean, you know, this is affecting everything. You know, everything is just this shit is the craziest thing in the world right now.
Like watching ESPN is even you can't even watch ESPN the way you used to because it's like everything is just like classic. They show like old games and all that. It's just you really realize all the hosts and stuff are doing the shows from home. Heck, I've been pretty much working from home, so that's been an interesting thing in itself. It's just, yeah, man. Like,
I ain't been on lockdown. I ain't been on quarantine. I ain't gonna lie to you. I've been moving around every day.
You know what? That's my whole thing too. Cause like, I know last week. I was doing a photo shoot and stuff, and I'm sitting here. I went through Kyle Park, which you know Kyle Park be lit. It was like the most random day time of the day, and it was packed. I mean, I saw people had barbecue pits out in the darn park and everything. They weren't playing.
It was lit.
Lit, bro. I'm like, damn. I'm like, okay. It's like a typical day at Kyle Park. It's crazy. So now, like, what's your overall thoughts on the whole thing of coronavirus? Not necessarily if you don't believe in it or not, but like just overall, like, what's your thoughts on like just the whole quarantine? And like you said, I know you said you've been moving around, but like, what's your overall what you think as far as advice to people from your perspective?
Well, I just, by me moving around and all that, I keep hand sanitizer and I just wash my hands, man. I wash my hands all day long. That's what I do. So, you know, that's being clean is the best way. You know, being clean is just the best way, man. Just wash my hands and keep it pushing. That's what I do.
But it's kind of crazy because we were, I mean, what just annoys me with this whole entire thing is, I thought we were supposed to be, weren't we supposed to be washing hands anyway before this happened?
Right,
like,
right.
People like wilding out, like, oh my God, I need to start washing my hands. Like, wait, what? I thought we was already doing it.
Right.
It, like, it's some, I can understand if you get the virus because of somebody else. But if it's because of you not doing stuff we're supposed to do every day anyway, like washing hands, you know, drinking water, doing all that, then that's just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole key to it all. Just stop being stupid.
It's pure. I think that's like, yeah. So before we get into business, we do that very well. We getting everybody like business. Like one of the things me you talked about one day was like you were in the process of writing a book. Like without giving away too much, like what is like well, first of all, what inspired you decided, you know, I want to write a book, and then two, like what's the base, like pretty much if you had to sum it up, what's the subject matter you gonna cover?
Well, what inspired me is my everyday living from day one. You know, that's what inspired me in all my trials and tribulations I've been through. That's what inspired me to write the book. The book is about my life. The ups, the downs, the good, the bad, the sad, you know, the life, the death. It's about my life. It's going to be all facts. It will not be none made up. I don't want it edited or I don't want it cut. I want it just like it is, raw.
I like that because that's how we approach this show. Like every week we do this show, we don't do this cookie cutter nonsense where it's like we gonna hold back on what we say. We say it just however wherever it comes out. That's the way it's gonna come out. Like, and I like guests that like that. And that's why I was like, you know, the fact you want to be my show, I'm like, hell yeah, you come my show. Because I know you're going to give it to us raw. And I don't want to, you know, I hate any guests. I'm letting people know that now. People that's trying to do the show in the future, we do not do people that come on the show and this is going to hold back. That's boring. Like, if you want to do that, you go to, you know, no disrespect, go do a CNN interview or whatnot where everything has to be crisp and polished and all that. We don't like all that. We like to get the stuff raw because that's the best way, real conversations. And like, kind of like I do now, I'm doing like how, like, because somebody was asking me, how do you do the shows? How do you do that? How do you know how to do a good show, interview, all that? You just have a natural conversation. I'm basically talking to Los right now. Like, I would just like have a regular conversation with him every day. So that I just gave some people out there podcast one-on-one in my personal opinion. But I'm excited to see the book to read the book because I mean, just some of the stuff you talk about along the way, like around, like random times about Greg Byron being around you. You've been through a whole lot.
Hey, boy, you, I mean, to hell and back. To walk in my shoes, you're a bad motherfucker. That's all I can tell you. If you can walk in my shoes, you are a bad motherfucker. That's all I can tell you. Reading that book, you understand where I'm coming from.
Well, if I give him away too much, then we want to make him have to, when the book come out, we have to make him read the book. What would you say is probably one of the hardest experiences you had to go through?
The hardest experience I had to go to is really two of them, but they're based on the same thing. I had a 17-year-old son get murdered, and I had a 21-year-old daughter get killed. Facts. Honest to God truth. Those are the hardest things dealing with every day. Not just then. Those are the hardest things I deal with every day.
Yeah, and it's like how do you, how do you heal from that?
You don't. You can't. There's no healing. For me, I can only speak for me. There's no healing. There's no healing. Like I say, I deal with it every day. Every day. That's all
I think one of the, speaking of life every day, before we ended up having to close, one of the things that she ended up doing was you actually, you showed love to Eric. I remember we ended up, everybody taking shots, and it was like, like I told somebody that Tuesday, that Monday, that was crazy because, not knowing that was going to be the last day for a long time, we was going to be in there. And it felt like, man, for anybody that wasn't there, especially that Monday, I feel sorry for them because that was a special day for sure. And you can just really just like feel like, man, like that's how everybody was just the love in the room was different. It was interesting.
Right. That was my birthday day. Me and
mm-hmm.
him's birthday. Yeah, it was special because, I don't do that too often. I don't drink too often, it was special.
Yeah, I know the special day because Lowe's does not drink. Lowe's does not drink. And I saw Lowe's, I was like, yeah, man, like, it was crazy. Okay, so because that way I can be able to come to work and not be in trouble. Nay, I'm going to let you do the honors of getting into his personal business. Uh-oh.
Yes, what's good, y'all?
Okay, I'm going to let you be the bad cop today. Get some of his personal business.
Wow, I got to be the bad cop.
Yeah, so every now and then somebody has to be the bad cop. This episode, I get to be the good cop.
Okay. So my question is, because I already asked some messy questions, but I'm going to get a little bit more messy.
Uh-oh.
So have you ever dealt with one of the strippers, spoke with one of the strippers that work at the club?
Damn. See, that was coming.
I'm gonna tell you like this, and this just being real. You never kiss and tell. That's the answer.
You never kiss and tell.
Never kiss and tell. That's the answer to that question.
Look at
I didn't say their name, but now like
they
like say their name.
I'm just asking
the general question.
Have you ever fucked with
one of the strippers that work at the club?
I'm gonna tell you this. I mess around with strippers. Yeah, I mess around with strippers. I'm gonna answer the question like that.
That was very smart. That was a move right there. I like how you had to go ahead and give him a hand clap. That was masterfully done.
Okay. So you just
I swear if somebody answered that question, I'm like,
this man basically went around the place. But he still answered.
He answered your question. He might not. He answered it in a very, I say, a very dignified, real way.
Right.
I love strippers. I love them.
Just don't ask me that.
There's nothing wrong with strippers. So have a stripper ever overdosed in a club?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how was that experience for you, like dealing with that type of situation?
I'm from the streets. I'm from the hood. So it's just let's just get us some water and make a throw up and Let's keep it going. We gotta take care of business.
Okay.
But you know, I don't think that was a. I seen a bad experience of somebody that. It was one in particular. This girl was trying to bite customers. I was like, what the heck? Which I ain't gonna say the nickname when we call them people, but Los know what I'm talking about. Los know exactly what I'm talking about. We got a certain nickname for them people, but I ain't gonna say it on the air. But yeah, there was one that she was trying to she was just on some weird stuff. She was trying to bite people, just on some really weird stuff.
I can tell you the saddest experience I had in working in the strip club, since you didn't ask that question, but I'm going to tell you the saddest. I've lost four girls that I've hired or worked with. I've lost them. You know, they passed away, and that hurt us real bad.
Man, don't get me started, bro.
It's like losing family, for real.
We still was dealing with the two recently. Then another one recently, Lex. AKA Imani Rain, she ended up passing away just recently. I'm like, but goddamn, right. They be so young too. Like you said, they be so young when it happened. So it's a lot to process.
Yeah, it's just that's the hardest part of it to me. But go ahead, Nate.
Oh, Nay?
Yes.
There she go.
You got any more questions?
Do I got any more questions? So what made you really, get into the club industry? Like, is that something that you always wanted to do? Like, what inspired you to do that type of business? Because I know it's not an easy thing to be into. But, you know, it got its pros and cons.
Yeah, I was one of those guys that go to the strip club every night. And, you know, I used to, like I said, I don't drink or smoke, so I used to just watch. And I used to just be like, shit, this shit for me, I can handle this, you know. And, I mean, it went from there, you know.
Okay. So, how did you and Fetty meet? Like, how did y'all come about to him working at the club and stuff like that?
When Fetty was already working there when I came to be manager.
Okay.
He was already bouncing.
Oh no, you ain't going back far enough. You ain't going back far enough.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you what happened. So, Daddy don't know who I am, right? So, I come up to the door and Daddy like, but hold up, guy. You know, I got a pass search and all that. So I tell Daddy, hey, I don't get pass search. So Daddy like, man, I got to pass search everybody. You know, I've been told I got to do. I say, well, Seti, go get your man, because I don't get past church. That's how I met Seti.
Yeah, and I was like, man, I still remember. I went to Sean's. I mean, who is this dude, man? He's like, man, he get past church. I said, oh, no. And I knew he was good, because when Sean said it, I know he was like, man, trust me, man. That's the person you want to have in your corner. So he told me a real deep story that she did for one time. And so I was like, yeah.
Okay.
I knew. I was like, yeah, that's the dude that's going to cut for you.
Teddy was trying to do his job, but that's how I met Teddy.
But he stay on my, and it's funny because now he stay on my ass when I do my job. He be on my ass. But it always make me better though, so I don't be. So you know, I remember that one time I was like, man, I was like, oh, and Los came over. He came over. He said, you mad? Go ahead, be mad. No, he was. But nah, for the most part, we usually pretty cool.
That's cool. So my last question is, for women who want to get into the entertainment business, as far as stripping goes, what advice would you give them?
I tell them, when they come in, hey, if you're going to do this, be all the way 100 with it. That's what I try to tell them. And then I try to tell them how to get the money. I try to explain to them how they're going to get the money. If they not fit for it, they'll tell you that Carlos is one of the ones going to tell you that.
Yep.
I don't sugarcoat. I don't bite my tongue. I'm going to let you know, hey, man, it's not the point for you. Like, for real.
So you're going to let them know, like, if it's for them or if it's not for them.
Yeah, I just let them know, man, you got to be all the way 100 because you can't be playing. You have to invest in yourself first and foremost.
One thing I got to brag about you about is there was something you did special one day, and because some people behind the scene, I'm about to tell something right now that people don't even know, and it was something that happened behind the scenes. So there was a Tuesday night, and you had went up to the stage, and you had Made It Rain on Hennessy. And I remember, like, people, I know some people were talking like, dang, how come you never did it for me? And I knew the behind the scenes reason why he did it. But I'm going to go ahead, you know, we release some exclusive stuff for here in the show sometimes. Like, the behind the scenes reason why he did that, which was so dope to me, was it was that Sunday night. And Los already knows, Sunday nights, Sunday nights is always a grab bag. It's like, it's good and it's bad. I mean, it's just like it is in any industry, there's always going to be a day that's up and down. But this particular night, it was a lot of people coming there, and Hennessy was the only person that we can count on that night as far as dancers. And for those who don't realize, you know, want to know why he made it rain or whatever, that was why. He was showing love because, you know, he wanted to show love to you supporting him, and when you least expected it, you know, because the girl didn't know that was going to happen. He didn't tell her that he was going to do that, but he decided to do that out of his heart to show love the same way that you did when you was doing every week when you was doing the outfit thing, like
right.
I like you said, it goes back again to what we said earlier. I don't think a lot of people realize the stuff that you do. Like, they'll get on you about, oh, he's so strict. But anything, what job you going to go to when it is somebody strict? I mean, it's crazy because there was a kid. I used to teach at a community center. I was cool, but I was strict. And some of the kids that was, like, tripping because I was strict. When I was leaving, they were crying. When I was leaving from working, and they were crying because I actually had a good impact in their life. And I think at the end of the day, when people get past the, oh, my God, he's going to hold me accountable for what I'm supposed to do, they'll realize that at the end of the day, you looking out for them.
Yeah, you know, a bunch of them don't see that.
So I'm just, you know, I'm using this time, this airways.